This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 8, 2021. The Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
What is this that you have done?
May the words, my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. This question that God asks of Eve, it's indicative of what the gravity of what she has done. When God looks at you, I mean, you remember your parents, you look at, what have you done? That shameful remark that your parents make. God makes this to Eve, but the consequences of her act are unfathomable. Through her act of disobedience, we are totally corrupted. We are given over to a condition that is not just spiritual. It tore up our physicalities. It tore up the way we emotionally deal with other people. It messed up our intellects. We can't think straight anymore. And of course, spiritually, it closed the door to heaven, to every human being that walks the face of the earth. This is what she did. She was clueless. For her, it was just eating of a piece of fruit that she had been told not to, and Adam in turn. This corruption of the human race because of what she did caused God Almighty to send his Son to die for our sins. This is what Eve did. We have a second Eve that has fixed that. St. John Henry Newman, recently canonized, St. John Henry Newman, an Anglican convert, says this. He says, the great rudimental teaching of antiquity from the earliest date about Mary is that she is the second Eve. This is a very profound statement when we look at it in the context of the Immaculate Conception. John Henry Newman, saint, was a man who was a tremendous theological intellect. He had a profound love and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mother. And in this devotion, he put that intellect to work. It wasn't just a matter of faith for him. It was also a matter of reason. The Immaculate Conception is interesting in that there are a whole lot of people who deny. There are people in the Catholic Church, which deny makes them not Catholic because it's a dogma of our church and you have to believe it to be Catholic. The Immaculate Conception is something that reason dictates. Reason dictates that the Blessed Virgin Mary was immaculately conceived because of the following. One, as St. John Henry Newman, I love the old English word, rudimental. It is a foundational thought of antiquity that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the second Eve. Men who've written about Mary being the second Eve include saints like Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Ephrem the Syrian, Cyril of Jerusalem, John Chrysostom, St. Augustine, and St. Jerome. These men didn't hang out together and figure out, get on one sheet of music of what they were going to say about the Blessed Virgin Mary. These men wrote in Greek, they wrote in Latin, and they wrote in Syriac. They lived in the Holy Land. Some of them lived in Africa. Some of them lived in Asia. And others lived in Europe. And they were consistent in the understanding that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the second Eve. So it is a foundational concept of our church. When you look at the profound nature, as I described at the beginning of this, of Eve's unique part in the fall, that's a gross understatement. Her unique part in the fall, we have to appreciate the fact that rationality tells us, reason tells us that if Eve played such a unique role in the fall to fix something so profound, the Blessed Virgin Mary would have to be equally unique in her role in salvation. If the Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the second Eve, she has to be greater than the first one. This is scripture. I love it. A lot of your scripture alone friends. It's not in scripture about the Immaculate. It's not in scripture. Yeah, it is. It goes all the way back to Genesis that it's in scripture. Genesis 1. Eve is created, and God looks at her and says, this is very good. God can be in the presence of no sin whatsoever. None. So when he looks at and says, this is very good, that means there is no sin there, because he cannot be in the presence. That's why he expelled them from the Garden of Eden after they fell. That's why he shut the door to heaven. He cannot be in the presence in his holiness of any sin, or that sin is consumed by his righteousness. If Eve was created very good, the Blessed Virgin has to be better. This is what is referred to scripturally as typology. And again, your scripture alone friends love typology. Adam was a foreshadow of Jesus. Yes, he was. Was Jesus better? I don't think anyone would argue contrary. Jesus was better than Adam. King David's a type of Jesus. Yes, he is. The man after God's own heart, who also happened to be an adulterer and a murderer. He was a type of Jesus. Jesus was much better. So if all this type thing goes on, and then when Jesus comes, the fruition of that is better always. When our Lord looked at the sinless Eve and said, that's very good, the one who bears our Lord Jesus Christ has to be better than her. So by necessity, just using reason, she would have to be sinless. Because if she wasn't, she would have been worse than Eve. She would have been under Eve, because Eve was, as we know from Scripture, created sin. Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived sinless. This doesn't have anything to do with her parents' condition. It doesn't have anything to do with the mechanics of her conception. None at all. It has to do with God's grace for the Blessed Virgin Mother. So, typology just dictates by reason that the Blessed Virgin Mary had to be better than Eve. And Eve was created sinless. The Blessed Virgin Mary had to be conceived sinless to be a fulfillment of the type. The Blessed Virgin Mary is, as I said, it doesn't have to do with her parents, the mechanics of her conception. It has to do with her being the supreme example of what God's grace can do in a human being. That's what this is about. It's about God's grace being poured out on her. Hence the angel Gabriel addressing in obeisance the Blessed Virgin. Angels come down here and everybody that sees them gets on their face as if they were dead. That's always the reaction. Always. Nobody ever goes, wow, an angel. Even Mary was disturbed at this salutation, but she didn't fall on her face because the angel did obeisance to her. Hail, full of grace, full of grace. We all receive God's graces to a lesser or greater extent. We cooperate with them to a lesser or greater extent. But at the end of the day, we all have graces. But yet we are not full of them at our conception as the Blessed Virgin Mary was. She is full of grace. She was made perfect just way before us. From the very moment of her conception, she was perfect. God does that to people all the time. Okay? Every Immaculate Conception. Okay? Because we can get kind of overwhelmed with this whole Immaculate Conception. Well, that's nothing like me. It was at one time.
if you were baptized. A lot of people don't get that one. When you're baptized, your church teaches that every stain of original sin and any stain of any actual sin is washed away. You are immaculate. For adults and people of reason that are baptized, that usually lasts for about a half an hour. Okay? That's our fault. They're immaculate. You are immaculate when you're... The Blessed Virgin Mary, being immaculately conceived gives her a one-up, I'm sure, in the ability to maintain, but it still came from her free will. She was still required to maintain that. Just like we mess it up by the time we get out to the parking lot, she didn't. She lived her whole life as a life of faith. Because why? Because God showed her a singular act of grace in making her immaculately conceived. But again, she didn't have anything different going on, just in timing, than you did when you were baptized. This is the reality of things. God makes men perfect. If you want to do things like if there's a lull when people are receiving communion, what are you supposed to do? All these people are receiving communion. Open your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, talks about us being gathered with the just men made perfect. Those are the words, made perfect. God in His grace makes us all perfect eventually. He did it once in our baptism. He'll do it again after purgatory for most of us, that we will be made perfect. We gather together because that's the only way we're going to get into heaven. So when we look at the Blessed Mother and we look at her Immaculate Conception, this isn't about, ooh, wow, Mary. It's about, ooh, wow, look what God did to her, for her, because she is a living sign of a righteous life of the new creature. She is a new creature in a very special way because when our Lord was incarnate, it was a center point in time. I mean the time of the entire universe. It was a center point in time. Before, the doors of heaven had been closed to human beings. After that, they were opened. You have to be perfect to get in there. Our Lord has given us all the graces that we need to do just that. Like He said, in the first Sunday of Advent, it is up to us to more and more cooperate with those graces. Because we have the Blessed Virgin as our example of someone who can live a life in this world as a creature and do what she did and maintain that status of perfection. We have to work on it a little bit harder because we have allowed sin to take dominance in our life. And due to our fallen condition, it's going to be like that. But she is the example, prime example, of what life is like to be the new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For in Christ Jesus, we are all new creations, new creatures in Him. We can be perfect. We are called to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. You just got to work at it a lot harder, but nonetheless, we see what God can do. If He could conceive her in an immaculate way, He could do the same thing to you. He can maintain that immaculate state that we polish up every time we go into the confessional. This is the glories of our faith. These are the glories of the grace of God. Mary is just the pinnacle of those graces, full of them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.